we finished off last week with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He told us that one of the most important things is choices. To make the right choices, the choice we make should be Derech Yeshara. It should be the proper way, not just the proper way for you, but for all of mankind. V'nimtzachem v'seichel toiv. It's not just for ourselves, it's mankind, it's for Hashem. We need to concentrate that the world is bigger than us ourselves. That it's not just about I, but it's about the big picture. In terms of choices, we've got to be careful not to make the wrong choices and treat some mitzvahs one way and some mitzvahs another way. Those are not good choices. All that Hashem gave us is from one God and has to be treated with equal respect. When we talk about choices, that's a constant 24/7 job. We have to choose between good and bad, and we have to choose between right and wrong, we have to choose between forbidden and permissible, and we have to choose between kosher and treif, and we gotta choose between what's pure and what's not pure, that's defiled. So we're always challenged where to look and where not to look. What to eat and what not to eat. Should I get up for minyan or should I not get up for minyan? Etc., etc., etc. It's not ending. That is a very, very important aspect. Now, why is all that so important? Because at the end of the day, we have to give an accounting for everything that we do. Nothing is for free on this world. For every action that we do, there's a reaction. And we have to keep focus of what we're doing with our life. So we had some advice for us, and this was the summation. After all the advice, the summation was, V'histakel b'shloisha devarim. You should look in very deeply. Histakel doesn't just mean to look, it means stronger than look, it means steer. B'shloisha devarim are these three things. You will not come to sin. That means, it could have said you should see three things. It says histakel, we know that histakel is a stronger seeing than just plain seeing. It means you have to be in serious focus. It's got to be on your mind. You've got to delve in to the principles that I'm going to say. Then you won't come to an avera. Which means that if you do the things that he says haphazardly, then you will not get that protection. Number one, da mala mala mimoch. Know what is above you. We all know that Hashem is above us. Hashem sees every single thing that we do. Ayin ra, there's an eye that sees. Ve'ozan shamas, there is an ear that hears. V'chol ma'asecha, and everything that you do, b'sefer nechtovim, is written in a sefer. So we see here numerous items that we need to concentrate on. Again, he uses a word here of da. Okay, da means to know. Da means absolute. Like we find, da lifnami at omeg, know before whom you stand. Da means it's not I know or I don't know, I'm sure, I'm not sure. Da means through and through, you must feel it in every fiber of your body. Mala mala mimach, what is above you? They say that one of the reasons that the computer and that the satellites were invented was to drive in this principle. We couldn't understand how is God able to see everything that everybody does? How is he able to hear everything that we say? And how is he able to write down everything that we do? How could he do that? It's overwhelming. So they say that God let mankind create a satellite so that we should know it's possible to see everything from up there. And he created computers so that we should know that it's possible that everything should be written from humankind. And that there's an ear that's listening. All these recording mechanisms, it's possible for everything to be recorded. So a person has to keep these three things in mind, that he is always being observed, even in the darkest places where he may think that he's not being observed. The Torah says to us that, Im yasta ish b'mistarim, If a person would hide in a hidden place, Vani lo yarena, and I'm not going to see him, no Hashem. The prophet says to us that Hashem sees everything. He sees through the dark. So everything we do is being observed, and everything we do is being listened to in Shemaim, and everything is being written down, and it's recorded. And therefore, we need to know that we will be held accountable for every single thing that we do. And that's why we have to make the right choices, like we spoke about before. We have a tendency to think that things can get erased. Maybe not everything will be written. Maybe not everything will be seen and everything will be heard. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is telling us there's no such thing in the heavenly court. They don't miss a beat. And therefore, we have to be careful, not just what we do, but since we are humans and every human makes mistakes and every human does wrong things, we have to know that it's recorded, and therefore we need to repent and do the proper teshuva, because that is the only erase button that exists on the computer, and that is tshuva. There's no such thing that a person should do a sin and it is totally wiped out without repentance. There will be a punishment for it in one way or another. Even if you do a million billion mitzvahs, they do not erase if you do one sin, because it would be unfair for Hashem to run a cancellation policy, because there is no end to the value of a mitzvah. And we also don't know the seriousness of an avera. And that's why before he told us this principle, he told us, don't go ahead and try to figure out what's more important and what's not important and what's a mitzvah kala and what's a severe mitzvah. Everything has an accounting that's perfect that only Hashem can do. Hashem wants to reward us for the mitzvahs that we do, and he will never allow any of those mitzvahs to be canceled. When we take these principles into account, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is saying to us, this is a way that we should be blessed on this world and we should be blessed in the world to come. I want to respond to this question of Ayin Rav Ozen Shamas. We know Hashem has no eyes and he has no ears and he's not sitting with a pen and he's writing. But there is a principle in the Torah which is called Divrei Torah Kaloshim B'nei Adam. The Torah writes in a manner in which man can comprehend. That's the way Hashem wrote the Torah. He didn't write it in a language that's not understandable. He wrote it in a language which is identifiable, which a human being could comprehend, a human being could relate to it, a human being could understand it. The best way a human being understands something is through himself. When we talk about eyes seeing, we understand what that means because our eyes are all over the place. We are constantly looking. Even when we're not supposed to be looking, we're looking. Our eyes are constantly working. And if we don't see too well, we make sure we get glasses to make sure we don't miss a beat. We see everything. And even when we don't see everything, we think we see everything. The same thing with the ears. We are always listening. Even what we shouldn't be listening to, we're listening. Our ears are a sense that they operate on their own without an effort. Our eyes too, without an effort. And for us to understand with clarity that everything that happens in this world is noticeable, the best way the Rabbeinu HaKadosh understood to say it the way we talk. There is a concept that is undeniable. People behave a different way when they know that there is accountability. If we, for a moment, thought that we could get away with things and not be accountable for the things we do, we would pass every red light. We say that you are supposed to serve Hashem not for reward, but we also hear from the sages who are bigger sages than all of you who say that mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, that we as human beings operate on a level of reward and punishment. The Hashem set up this world this way. There's reward and punishment. You go to work, there's a reward. You sit home, you're punished. You transgress, you don't abide by the law, there's punishment. You follow the law, there's reward. This is a basic principle throughout Torah. We see throughout the Torah that Hashem has given us mitzvahs, commandments to do, and mitzvahs, commandments not to do. And it clearly states that there are punishments for not following the commandments properly. There was sekila, sreifa, ereg, chenek. There was malchus, you got a beating. Why do we need all that? Because Hashem created man, ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min ha'urav. The inclination of man is bad from his youth. The reason Hashem created those punishments was so that we should be tamed. And what's interesting is, to prove the point, why we need it, because even with the punishments that the high court would exercise against people who did not conduct themselves properly, they still did the wrong thing. But Hashem, in His great mercy, gave us the alternate. That if you did a sin, you can bring a korban, a chatas, an osham, and then with repentance, the sacrifice would help you to be forgiven. Because when they're sacrificing the animal, you understand you yourself should have been sacrificed. You're not conducting yourself properly. But Hashem said, instead of having it happen to you, I'll let it happen on the korban. I'll let it happen on the animal. So we're going to make a switch. Instead of what should happen to you, will happen to the animal. And with repentance, then maybe we can keep you on the straight line. That's why Erev Yom Kippur, we have kaporis. We say what should have happened to us should happen to the chicken. You know the famous story, Rav Shlomo Shvadron, I don't know if I've ever told this. He asked a question. We wake up in the morning and we take this poor chicken and we swing it around our head and we say, this should be the exchange for me. This should be instead of me. And we swing it and the chicken is screaming and the rooster is screaming. So he asked the question, what is the rooster saying? What's the rooster screaming? So he said that the rooster is screaming, you're taking me as an exchange for you. I'm up every morning at the crack of dawn, and you're turning around and sleeping under your covers, and you're taking me for a kapora, you're taking me instead of you. We can't avoid this principle that we're going to learn in the Mishnah later, that the government has laws, because if man did not have laws and did not have reward and punishment, they use here a language that will frighten you. The language the sages use is, you would swallow your friend up alive. Ish esre'eu chayim b'lo. You would swallow them up alive. That means that what the sages are saying, whether we want to agree to it or not, and they knew us better than we do, they said that we are not sheep and goats. We are predators. And if we are not guarding ourselves, and we are not taking into account that for every action there is a reaction, man could become not what God intended him to become. And therefore, he starts off with da. Da doesn't just mean known intellectually. Da means that you need to know this through and through your being. To know God is to know His Torah. To know God is to respect His Torah. To know God is to abide by His Torah. To know God is to surrender our will for His will. To know God is that when He says yes, it's yes, and when He says no, it's no. To know God is to feel insulted when we commit a crime against Him. To think and to say, how could I have violated God's will when He does so much for me constantly, when He wants to do good by me, and He constantly does do good by me, and I pay Him back bad for good. That's called knowing God. When we know that, and when we know him, then we could love him. The reason we don't love God properly, and the reason we do what we're not supposed to do, is because we don't know him. When you know him properly, and you love him, you can't transgress against him. This is vital to understand. That's the deep meaning of Da. That a second doesn't go by that we don't think about him. That is the reason why the sages instructed us to say 100 blessings a day. Why? That we should constantly be busy with God. Constantly be remembering God. Constantly feeling we're in the presence of God. If I'm eating, I'm making a blessing. I went outside before there was a rainbow. I made a blessing. I was walking outside with my wife and I saw a fruit tree blossoming. I made another blessing. Wherever I turned, I was making blessings. Why? God wants us to know him. So he created a world where we are forced to know him. We are forced to know him. And if we don't want to think about him, he makes us think about him. He makes you walk by a fruit tree that's blossoming. He hits you with a rainbow. He hits you with thunder and lightning. He hits you with this. He hits you with that. You're constantly being permeated by God because he wants us to know him. And by knowing him, we could love him. And by loving him, then we can improve ourselves and become the kind of people that Hashem is proud of because he created us in his image. And therefore, to violate his will is to violate him himself. That's B'Tselem Elokim Bara. As Adam, he created us in his image, and his image means, like we spoke many times, Mahu Rachum, like he is merciful, Avatar Rachum, you should be merciful, Mahu Chanon, he is gracious, Avatar Chanon, you need to be gracious. This is all coming from where? From Da. That's why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi used this word Da over here. To keep focused. Da means be focused. Be focused. It's not haphazard. It's not belief. Could have said, believe what's above you. It's not about believing it. It's about a fact that's indisputable. I want to review this and explain. The Mishnah is talking in a way to frighten us. But Rabbi Yehuda Nasi understood that these are principles that are required to protect the person from doing sin. A lot of times, the sages build gates around what the Torah says, not to make our lives harder, but to protect us. When Hashem gave the Torah, Hashem said, no one should go up on the mountain, build a fence around in order to protect us. There were Jewish people. Because of their deep love of Hashem, they maybe would not be able to control themselves. And they would go on the mountain out of love for Hashem. Being human beings, we have a problem with controlling ourselves. We can't control our ambitions. We can't control our appetites. We can't control our eyes. We can't control our mouths. We can't control ourselves. That's why Hashem made it. And Hashem knew that we will do sins. Some intentional, some unintentional. And the ones that we do intentional, the punishment is much more severe than the ones that we do unintentional. Hashem created a whole mechanism of how we could redeem ourselves when we sin. There's Yom Kippur, which is the master day of forgiveness. But we need to do true repentance. Now, what is true repentance? People think I fast, I went to the synagogue, it's Yom Kippur, and I'm good to go. And the next day of Yom Kippur, I can start all over again. But it's not so. The Rambam, Maimonides, says very, very clearly that repentance means that you do not return to the sin that you once did. And how do you prove that you're truly repentant? Is that you find yourself in the same situation as you once were when you did the sin, now you are in the same situation and you depart from the sin. And the Holy One, blessed be He, can testify upon the person that he will not return to that sin anymore. Therefore, we find, like I said, on Rosh Chodesh, Zman Kapara L'Chol Toldosim, those are mini Yom Kippurs, And today we have what's called Yom Kippur Katan, the small Yom Kippur, where we get together in the synagogue. Not everybody does, but many righteous people do. And they go through a whole series of prayers, and they end off the prayers like they end off Yom Kippur at night, with the Shema Yisrael, and Hashem Hu Elokim, God is our master, and Hashem is the ruler, and Hashem ruled, and Hashem will rule. And we go through the whole process, which is very, very important to remind us every single month that there is reckoning. We shouldn't forget. So we have these reminders throughout the year, every Rosh Chodesh. At the time when the temple stood, the Holy Beis HaMikdash, they would offer up a carbon, a Sirash Chodesh, which was Mechaper. But you can go ahead and do Yom Kippur, and you can fast, and you can go to shul, but it depends what kind of sin you did. There are sins that repentance alone helps, and there are sins that repentance needs also Yom Kippur, and then there are sins that even with repentance and Yom Kippur, it's not enough to forgive you unless you have some suffering. And then there are sins that even if you have Yom Kippur, and you have repentance, and you have suffering, it also does not wipe it out. Like I've said in the past, and only death itself wipes it out. But because Hashem was so merciful, take a Jew that was a sinner all his life, the Rambam says, but in the last moments in his life, he fully repents in a way that God can testify upon him that he really means it, he will be forgiven. We see very, very clearly that when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says what he says is only for our benefit, our benefit.